First Peter chapter 1. We'll start reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why it gives us hope. The resurrection of Christ is a guarantee of our resurrection. And Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a blessing it is to have that hope, the hope of his second coming, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We all like to receive an inheritance, but God has got an inheritance for each one of his blood-bought children. Jesus said in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you. We have a place being prepared for us. When we absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord, and that should get us excited. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I'll say this, if we were not kept by the power of God, none of us would make it. So when you see someone on the outside who's down and out, living in sin, following the ways of the world, you must say, only by the grace of God, that's not me. Be thankful. Be thankful. Don't be like the Pharisees who smote their breasts and say, thank you, Lord, I'm not like this person. I'm not like this person. I do this, I do this, I do this. All the eyes in there. See, they couldn't see their own sinfulness. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And this is something that each one of us must go through. Manifold temptations. We each one have the common temptations that we all face. That's the reason we should sympathize one with another and understand each other. Your case is not particular. Your temptations. It's true in all of us. Sometimes we think, I'm the only one going through these trials. No, each one of us, beloved, are going through similar trials and temptations. That's why we should go to the throne of grace and pray one for another. Lord, if I'm going through this, what's Brother Bill going through? What's Brother Dave going through? What's Sister Susie going through? Sister Mabel? Each one of us here, what are they going through? Well, that's why we need to pray one for another. That the trial of your faith, you know, we're on trial in this world as Christians, our faith. And that's how we grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. Through the trials that we go through, they're not pleasant. As it says in the book of Hebrews. But when God gets finished with us, it brings forth that peaceable fruit and the joy once we get through that. But as we're going through it, it's not joyous to us. It's very, very stressful. But it's part of our child training as Christians. You know, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's child training. And I don't like that sometimes, the child training. It can be rough. But it's necessary for our growth and God to teach us that nothing in this world is sufficient for happiness except him. It takes a lifetime to learn that. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is a verse I'll be speaking on this morning, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. May we pray. Gracious Father, may you direct our hearts this morning to thy word. May you open up our understanding to see these truths. May the Holy Spirit bless us with the word of God and set us apart and sanctify us with the written word in our souls. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. You know, Peter was writing to the saints which were scattered abroad. And Peter had a privilege that they didn't have. They never saw Christ in his ministry as Peter and the apostles did. And Peter says, whom having not seen, they didn't see him. as Peter did. Remember in the epistle of John, John says, we looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. They had the privilege to walk and talk and see Christ personally and to see his miracles, to see him feeding the 5,000 men at one time with men and children, taking a few fishes and bread and multiply it to feed thousands. You know, we don't hear too much of that, but that's an amazing miracle. That he could take a fish, two or three little fishes, and increase it to feed thousands of people. They saw the healing that Christ did, Peter did. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. They could just touch his garment. The one woman who just said, if I could just touch his garment, I should be whole. They had that privilege. But these Christians here that Peter's writing to, whom having not seen, ye love. And it says in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Beloved, it has to be revealed to you. It has to be revealed. And that's what we're praying for, each one of us. It was revealed to each one of us personally. And we thank God that it was revealed to us. There's nothing greater than when God manifests himself to us in our souls to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the story of Thomas in John 20. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see the nail prints and the scars in his side. And when he appeared and Thomas saw him, he bowed his head, my Lord and my God. And what did Christ say to him? Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And you remember when he gave the commission in Matthew 28 and the other Gospels, and he says that he appeared unto them, and it says some doubted even when he appeared to them, showing you the strength of unbelief. Then he says, those that believe not shall be what? Damned. Oh, the privilege of God giving you the privilege of believing in the Son of God, the faith, which is the faith of God's elect. What a blessing that is. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It comes forth from our hearts. That faith which is given us comes forth. And it says in Hebrews 4:2 that not all men have faith. Everyone doesn't have faith. Even everyone who sits in a church service, some have faith and some don't. You remember the preaching in the book of Acts. As you read the book of Acts, as you go through it, it says some believed and some believed not. Why was that? Because some were given faith and some were not given faith. Those who had faith, what? Believed. Believed. Faith cometh forth by hearing as they heard the gospel. The Gentiles, over in Acts 13, it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. They believed in the Son of God. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. And in the book, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, faith worketh by love. They go together. You can't separate faith and love. Faith implies obedience. Love is a verb. We love the Lord. When we love the Lord, we obey the Lord. So God sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts as he does faith. And then faith, as it hears the gospel, comes forth. Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. It draws us like a magnet does metal. It draws. So what you and I need as a Christian is a fresh manifestation of God's love in our hearts to draw us to the lover of our souls, the lover of our persons, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The eye of faith, the heart filled with God's love, then we love Christ. Who's in charge of all of this? Free will? Free grace? What can you receive unless it be given to you? And if you receive it, why do you glory as though you didn't receive it? We have nothing to boast about. All we can say, Lord, unto thy name be all the glory and all the power. And Jesus, in teaching in John chapter 14, 5, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And evidence of love for God is what? Obedience to the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So we can ask ourselves the question, do I love the Lord? Are we obeying him? That's simple. Nothing complicated about it. The Lord made it very plain and very simple. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We're going to get into that as we go through this. The teaching of the Lord, our Master says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. John 15:9. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. So how do we abide in Christ's love? By being obedient to him. Abiding equals obedience. Obedience equals abiding. We can't say we're abiding in God if we're rejecting his word, rejecting his commandments, rejecting his authority. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. When we're filled with joy of the Lord is our strength. The more we see and experience the joy of the Lord, the more our joy grows as a Christian. He says, this is my commandment that you love one another, and we'll never be able to fully fulfill that commandment, to love one another. If we come short in any area of our lives as Christians, this is it. We don't show the love to each other and to our families and to those around us as we should. We need to pray about that. As I have loved you. Boy, what a contrast. You mean I'm to love Brother Dave as Christ loved me? But Lord, how can I do that? Only as I live through you, the Lord is telling us. He lives through us. And we're to love one another. As the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, we're not to just keep it within us, just for me. It's to go forth unto our beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, to our families, to our friends. We're to be a living witness to God's love that's in us. Some people will never know anything about the love of God except what they see in you and I. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See how the Lord puts obedience so close to love. You know, that's like a relationship between a man and a woman. Either way, if one says, I love you, and the other one says, I love you, but they never do anything for each other, they never demonstrate that love, just mention it, it has no meaning. But when a man has a wife and a family, he goes and he works and slaves and works 12 hours a day, and he comes home to support his family, and he does things, and he supports his family, and raises his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's a demonstration of love. Now, if he came home every day and the wife never cooked any meals, she never washed his clothes, she never cleans the house, he'd probably say, what's going on here? But when it goes together, when love is demonstrated in the home, what a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. That's the reason Christ compared husband and wife and family to the church. That's how we should love one another. Love is given to us, as it says in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What a blessing that is. And it says, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do we know that? What does he produce in our... How does he bear witness to us? By producing love in our hearts to each other. That's a witness of the Spirit. When you can love the unloved, that's the love of God. Being manifested through you to someone who needs to see that, and it's an evidence of the Spirit indwelling you and I. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, as Paul mentions in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control is what that means. Against such there is no law. And we each one have the fruit of the Spirit, and different times in our lives these fruits will be manifested in our everyday life. That's an evidence, that's a witness of the Spirit. We need that. Our love to God is an evidence of the witness of the Holy Spirit in our inward man. Naturally, man hates God. When a person's not born again, the way they act and the way they talk, and they have no concept of God, they have no time for God, they have no, God is foolishness unto them. The Word of God teaches that very clear. So when we're talking to our loved ones and they have no concern about these things, it's evident that they are not born again. Very evident. Now, I'm not saying a person couldn't be born again, may have grown indifferent to God, but God would deal with them as sons and daughters if they are born again children of God. We all can testify to that. God knows how to deal with His children. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Galatians 5:25 said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. All of these things is an evidence, it's a witness of the Spirit in our lives. If we overcome something that we know is against our nature, it's an evidence that God gave us the strength to do that, the faith to do that. See, sometimes we don't understand how God witnesses to us in the inward man. It's the little things where God witnesses to us. He don't talk to us verbally. I don't believe in that. But I believe God does speak to us through the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And He said, I will manifest myself to you. And I believe He does that at different times through His Word. As we're reading the Word, God speaks to our hearts. That's why it's so important that the Word of God, as we read it, the Holy Spirit will take that Word and He will speak to us through His Word. He says, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. He sanctifies us by reading the Word of God. In other words, He sets us apart. The word sanctify means to be set apart. What a blessing that is. So when you're reading the Word of God, God may speak to you about something. God is saying to you and I, be set apart. Be set apart. Also in this verse, it says in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. Ye love. What a blessing we've just been talking about. We love Him because He first loved us. So love is an evidence of what? That God loves you and I. What a blessing. All the billions of people in the world, I don't know exactly how many, billion, 6 billion, 8 billion, many people in the world. And God to love you out of that many people. Wow, it's a blessing. No wonder Paul says, give thanks for your election unto God. Next thing we see, in whom, says in this verse 8, in whom, though now you see Him not. The word in whom, that has a lot of meaning to that. The first one we see is we were chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1:4. According as He had chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy. He says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able, underline that, to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul believed in Him. In whom whom I have believed. Do you know the one you've believed in? Sometimes our faith is so weak, we don't see the greatness of our Savior, the greatness of His power. Who said, I am Almighty, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which was and is to come, the Almighty. That's in whom we were chosen. That's in whom grace was given us. In 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Grace was given you before the world started. We had nothing to do with that choice. It was all the sovereign choice of Almighty God. In whom we were quickened together. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That quickening power that was in Christ quickens us. Why? Because He's the head, we're His members. We're branches, He's the vine, and we are quickened by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in whom we're raised together. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're raised up with Christ. When He arose from the grave, being our representative, we arose with Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that blessed hope because of the resurrection of Christ. That's why we have such a hope. He rose from the grave. He was resurrected. And we're in whom we were made to sit together in heavenly places, that same verse, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is. And Paul said, all our spiritual blessings are in Christ. All of them. Everything you need, everything I need, Brother Roger, is in Jesus Christ, Brother Dave. No wonder Paul says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He starts it and He finishes it because we're kept by the power of God, reserved unto salvation. What a guarantee we have of salvation. In whom we have redemption. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We will never, I believe, even in eternity, I don't understand all that we'll know in eternity. God may remove some things and some things I think, but we'll always have a view of our Savior as our Redeemer, as our Lord and Master. Redeemed us. The forgiveness of sins. If it wasn't for that hope, we'd have no hope because we're sinners. Saved by God's blood. Saved by God's righteousness. Saved according to the riches of His grace, Brother Dave. Grace. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We have an inheritance and joint heirs with Christ. All that's Christ is ours. What a thought. You know, you can think of the richest man in the world, no matter who it might be, and if he was your father, all that he has was yours. We serve God. And Jesus has all spiritual blessings in Him. His inheritance belongs to all of His blood-bought children. Not to be split a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit. All of it belongs to each one of God's people. What a blessing. What a thought. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. So much to be grateful for. Next thought, though now you see Him not. We don't see Him right now physically, Brother Dave. But I'm grateful for the many times in my journey that I've seen the Lord with a spiritual eye. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God gives us living faith faith in our souls. He quickens us. But then he gives us that faith to God's elect, and we have the eye to see the Lord in the Word and manifest and believe upon Him. That seeing Him whom we've never seen with the physical eye, we see Him spiritually. When He comes to your soul and speaks peace to your heart, thy sins are forgiven. I don't think there's no greater joy in this world to know when God manifests the witness of His love to your soul that all your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. To me, that's the greatest blessings on this side of eternity, Brother Jay, to know that my sins are forgiven. Everyone, every evil thought, every lust, every act of disobedience, no matter what it is, it's been washed, it's been cleansed, and I'm stand complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll never be brought up against me. Never. What a blessing that is. There's many today that are suffering and that are dying in their sins and have no concern of their salvation, no concern of Christ. And that's why we should be so joyful that when we feel the burden of sin, we look to Christ, our sin barrier, and be grateful that God is dealing with you as sons and daughters, that He's just not letting us go our way. Oh, how grateful we should be. That's part of our inheritance. It says in Revelation, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierce Him, and all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Oh, beloved, every eye shall see Him one day. When He comes, it'll be a manifestation of His glory and power. It's going to be a wonderful day. And we should be looking for that day. And he says in Thessalonians, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do believe that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm going through the New Testament again this month, and I was reading Thessalonians, and you know, you read these every month I read it, but this month, it jumped out at me some certain things in the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians about comfort one another and how that we're comforted, exhort one another. All these things just started jumping out at me. I said, boy, that it shows you. God will say one thing in one verse and He turns around in another verse and shows you how it's done. What a blessing. What a blessing to read and study the Word of God. Comfort one another. What's the comfort? The coming of the Lord, beloved, as we're going to see as we get on further down in this. The coming of the Lord it should comfort us. If someone is very down and out, and you know as a Christian, you can comfort them by talking about the coming of the Lord. Brother and sister, you're going through this trial, you're going through tribulations, but there's a day coming when all these things will be wiped away. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain like Sister Beth and Sister Dawn died and they all gone on to be with the Lord. It's all past. Paul says our light affliction is only for a moment compared to eternity, like a moment, like a blink of an eye. That's all it is, beloved. Be patient, Paul says, James, into the coming of the Lord. Then it's all will be wiped away. That's our hope. That's our strength. And there's so many God's blood-bought children in these third world countries and in countries where they can't worship God openly and they're poor and they're destitute. Their hope, like those in the book of in Hebrews 11, they was in caves, they was hiding, they was in animal skins, and they suffered because of the cause of Christ. They were sawed asunder. But beloved, their hope was in that builder whose maker is God, a city whose builder and maker was God. They had their eyes on the Lord's coming. And we need to keep our eyes on that constantly. And I agree, we all get kind of numb to these truths at times and our lives. And Paul, as Peter says, we got to stir up our pure minds on these things. We have to. That's the preaching of the gospel, Brother Dave and Brother Roger and myself, as we preach and you as you witness to others, is to bring these things up and to stir up our mind to remember these things and to stir up our hearts and our affection to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, how many really thought the Lord was coming this morning when you got up? Now, sometimes we might be dwelling on those things. It might be on our mind. But we don't dwell on those things enough. We need to take time every day to think about the coming of the Lord. Yet believing. John says in John 20, 31, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Believing. Christ emphasized believing over and over and over in His ministry. Read the teaching of Christ in John chapter 6. "All that the Father giveth me shall believe on me." Believing in Christ, believing in the Father. He emphasized believing. And Christ put a blessing on believing who have not seen Him, as we read early in John chapter 20. He says in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and had given us an understanding that we may know Him." See, one of the things that God gives His children is understanding to know who? To know Him. To know the Lord, the Master. It doesn't matter whether you know the doctrines of election and predestination and you've been taught all these things and you know the history of the Bible, you know about Moses, you know about the Israel, you know about all these things. But if you don't know Him, everything else is vain. It's His story. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about being in submission to Him. He's the Master. He's our Lord. All these other things are wonderful to know, but without knowing Him, it's all vain. He is a person that we believe in. We don't believe in abstract doctrine. We believe in a living person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We take the testimony of God's Word, we believe it, and we put our faith in that. And our faith is in a person, Jesus Christ, who saved us. Believing. And it goes on to say, "This is the true God and eternal life." Who? Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. In Romans it says in chapter 15, 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in" what? Believing. So where does joy and peace come? When you believe God's testimony, when you read His Word, and you have a faith to believe that, you're going to have joy and you're going to have peace, Brother Roger. See how the Spirit uses the truth to speak to us, to give. That's in us, but He draws it out and gives us that joy, gives us that peace in believing God's Word. What a blessing. That's why it's so important, beloved. I can't overemphasize. Stay in God's Word and read it. That's something that Dave cannot do for Sister Mabel. Or Mabel cannot do it for Dave. We must do it as individuals. You rejoice with joy. Rejoicing. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Joy is included. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Oh, when you're reading God's Word and God just blesses your heart and you receive such joy of understanding a verse or a blessing that God does in your life or blessing someone that you've been praying for, it gives you joy. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's another evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, as we grow as a Christian, notice Paul's attitude. He says in Philippians 3:12, "Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect." You're never going to be perfect in this world. Never. Sometimes we say, well, why can't we be without sin, be perfectly? If we were perfect in this world, would we look to God's grace and strength the way we do now? I think not. God has left us in this position to teach us to be always looking to Him for strength and for grace and for mercy, and to appreciate His love, appreciate His blood, appreciate His kindness, appreciate the throne of grace, appreciate brothers and sisters who pray for you and I. It keeps us humble. He goes on to say, "But I follow after it, that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul wasn't perfect, but he was always pressing forward to be more like Christ, to be conformed unto the image of his Savior. Now, looking to him. That's how we should be. We're not perfect, but we should be striving to be more like the Lord, to be like our Savior. And by having fellowship with Him and praying, reading the Scriptures, that Christ might be formed in us more in our walk with God. What should be our goal as His servants is to be faithful. Faithfulness. What's the one thing that makes a marriage strong? Is faithfulness. What's one thing that makes a friendship strong? Faithfulness. What's one thing that makes our relationship with God strong? Faithfulness. There's no substitute for faithfulness to each other. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Who do we serve? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Never lose sight of that. Paul says, "I live, yet not I, the J, but Christ liveth in me." Unspeakable and full of glory. You know, Peter says in 2 Peter 2:3, "If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Somebody sometimes will ask you, "What are you so happy about? What are you so thrilled about?" And you say, you don't have the words to describe the joy that the God gives you in your soul. It's unspeakable sometimes. Sometimes you have such a blessing in your heart and your life, the presence of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace that passeth understanding. Somebody will ask you, "Well, describe that." You're lost for words, Brother Dave. There's a little phrase says this, "Tongue can never express the sweet comfort and peace of a soul in its earliest love." Brother Roger, how can you express the love of God, which is, Paul says, the height and the depth and the breadth and the length is beyond our comprehension. It's so great. And there are some joys that are so wonderful that they're unspeakable and they're full of glory. The glory of God, God's faithfulness. That's one thing that encourages us sometimes and gives us such joy. God's faithfulness to us, though we have been unfaithful to Him. At least I can testify to that in my life. God's faithfulness. "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, how true that is to such worms like us. The forgiveness of sins. What a blessing. The peace of God that comes with that. The love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. The fellowship of God. Oh, that we can fellowship the true and living God. We can go to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can come to the Holy of Holies through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What a blessing that is, Brother Dave. Have you counted your blessings lately? These are some of our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. But how many times does Satan want to veil those things from our eyes? We don't see clearly. Fellowship of believers. What a joy it is that we can fellowship and love one another as a church and as members and believers in Christ. Growing in grace. Oh, as you look at your life and say, "Oh, I'm grateful for the moments that I have grown in grace. God has blessed me to understand Scripture. He's given me spiritual strength. He's burdened my heart to pray. He's blessed me in so many ways. He's given me understanding in some things. And I have a spiritual desire to serve God and to love God." What? That's growing in grace and in knowledge. That's a witness of the Spirit to you that you are a child of God. And all that verse, God cares for us. "Casting all your care," Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, upon God, for he careth for you. You ever felt like no one cares for you? I think we all get there. So I've been there. We all get there. But we have to remind ourselves when we get in those frames of mind, God's Word says, yes, he careth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit careth for you. Jay, that's a blessing. We are never absent from God's love. We're never absent from his mercy. We're never absent from his grace. Even though we don't feel it, we may not sense it, we may not realize it, it's always with us. What a blessing that is to know that someone cares for my soul. So much that he went to Calvary. In whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, that's those special manifestations at times we have in our life. We don't have them all the time every day, but there are certain times God gives you that special joy and belief of the truth that it's just, you can't describe the joy of it. Those are precious times. He says in 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is Christ precious to your soul? He is precious. He has done more for us than anyone who's ever lived among men. He died for us to redeem our souls. He died for you. No greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. And Christ laid down his life for us because he loved us. He rose and brought life and immortality to delight through the gospel. And it's his present time he ever lives to make intercessions for us in heaven. He's pleading on our behalf in heaven. We're kept by the power of God. He's praying for you and I. I may forget to pray for Bill or Susie or Dave or Jay or Roger at times. But there's one who never forgets to pray for us. He's always ever lives to intercede for us. And that's Jesus. Are we grateful for that? Do we think about that at times? Oh, my coldness and my indifference, my lack of love to the Master, and yet he constantly lives and prays and intercedes on my behalf. What a faithful Savior we have, Brother Roger. Faithful. He said he loved those he loved them to the end. He's went to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he will come again and take us into himself, that where he is, there we may be also. What a Savior. The Lord, our Master. In Revelation it says concerning the Lord, and I love this verse, Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Every one of us was created for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. You were created for him. To serve him, to love him, to manifest his glory in the earth, in your families, in your lives, as you walk in your daily life. We created to, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God. That's why we were created, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's before everything. Before making a living, before having homes, before having retirement, all these things are secondary. The main purpose of our life is to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter if we live in a tent somewhere in a plantation, no matter where you live, what you do, or if you live in a palace, no matter where you live, are you living for the Lord who is worthy of all our praise and obedience? And that's why it says, Paul says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Beloved, words cannot express the goodness of the Lord and his blessings to us. This is just a few thoughts from 1 Peter 1:8, which I pray will be a blessing to you. And as we close this morning, may we be grateful for the Father's love in sending His Son, the Son's love in dying as our substitute, and the Holy Spirit's love, and then giving that application of giving us, quickening us to eternal life, drawing us, loving us, revealing Christ to us, revealing the things of God. We're kept by the power of God. We should be grateful for the God that whom we serve, the true and living God. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank You for Your love that's beyond understanding. But we're so grateful that we can get glimpses of that love at times in our life, and that we can shed abroad that love to one another. As You put it in our hearts, we can share it with each other. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You for keeping us. And may You continue to use us. And may we, Lord, all the days of our life realize that You're worthy of all our praise, all our obedience, all our sacrifices. Lord, everything that we do is to be laid at Your feet in honor of You, our Master and our Lord, that we always continually be humbling ourselves at Your feet. In Your name, Lord Jesus, we do pray and ask Your blessings upon this sermon. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?